Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time for the only show that doesn't care about ratings, Witness Radio, with your host, Ryan Muniak.
Welcome to Witness Radio, the only show that doesn't care about ratings because our sole purpose is to save souls. On purpose. Go to witnesstalkradio.org for more episodes and syndication options. We also have a Facebook page where you can go to discuss the show with other listeners.
There's no doubt about it. Valentine's Day is one of America's most popular holidays. More than 62% of Americans celebrate by sending greeting cards and flowers, giving candy or other gifts, enjoying romantic dinners, or all three. But the history behind Valentine's Day turns out to be somewhat surprising. For example, the roots of Valentine's Day go all the way back to a raucous ancient Roman fertility festival held in mid-February called Lupercalia. Later, the Christian church chose mid-February for St. Valentine's Day in order to Christianize the celebration. But who was St. Valentine? Not much is known about the holiday's namesake. First of all, there was more than just one Christian cleric named Valentine. One of them was sentenced to death for performing marriage ceremonies in secret after Emperor Claudius II banned marriage for young Roman men, thinking single men made better soldiers. Pope Gelasius declared February 14 as a day for honoring the soft-hearted Valentine at the end of the 5th century. It wasn't until the 1300s, though, that the holiday became definitively associated with love and romance. Back then, people believed that February 14th was also the beginning of birds' mating season. The first written Valentine greetings appeared in the 15th century, and by the 17th century, people in Great Britain had begun a tradition of exchanging Valentine's Day cards or letters. Valentine's Day soon caught on in the U.S. as well. The first mass-produced holiday cards emerged in the 1840s, and Valentine's Day soon exploded into a major consumer holiday. Today, an estimated 1 billion Valentine cards are sent each year, more than on any other holiday except for Christmas. More than 35 million heart-shaped boxes of chocolate are sold, and more than 220 million roses are produced for the holiday in a typical year. Altogether, Americans spend almost $20 billion on Valentine's Day, or an average of some $130 per person per year. While the most popular gifts were candy and flowers, nearly 20% of Americans splurge on jewelry, shelling out as much as $4 billion annually. And those who prefer the ultimate romantic gesture are definitely not alone. A recent survey revealed that as many as 6 million couples are likely to get engaged on February 14th, continuing a long romantic history that we bet you didn't know.
Thanks to History.com for that information. I'm so glad my wife doesn't get caught up in the commercialism of Valentine's Day. She wants me to buy her stuff all year long.
You're listening to Witness Radio.
Now, since people have been thinking about love and doing nice things for others, I thought it would be interesting to see what they would consider to be the greatest example of love. Of course, as Christians, we know that when Jesus Christ took our place upon the cross, he committed the ultimate act of love by paying for our sins with his blood. Right? What is the greatest act of love that could ever be done?
I guess for me, the greatest act of love that could ever be done was just showing that you actually care and, like, doing something that you know would mean the world to me that I wouldn't actually tell you, but just by observing me and how I act, so, yeah.
Okay, so, like, some action would be the greatest act of love. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, mine would be similar, but, like, I don't want the whole fancy, take me out to a nice dinner, buy me flowers, just something that you know that I would enjoy, like a quiet dinner or something that you know that it's something we can enjoy together and it's not just for me, it's for both of us.
Okay, so a nice quiet date,
yeah.
You know, dinner and a movie or something like that? So now, those are things that, you know, everybody does. So it can't really be the greatest act of love. So think about it for another second there. What would be something even greater than what you girls have just expressed? You know, a
dinner and a movie and just doing something nice for you. What would be even greater than that? Because everybody does those things. Well, not everybody. A lot of people do. Hopefully you girls find nice guys that'll do that for you. But I'm looking for something that's extraordinary. It's even better than that. Any ideas?
I mean, to me, I just think about something like that I would want, but I couldn't do myself, like that I couldn't afford or take forever to do, and they just surprised me with it. So, I mean, to me, that just shows that they listen, because I would say it like forever ago or something, and they would remember it, and then they would just do it without me reminding them. Okay. So.
What about you?
I guess it would just be. I guess it'd be, like, similar to hers, but it'd be, like, more of just showing how much you actually care. Like, just, I guess it wouldn't be, like, don't show it just on, like, Valentine's Day or, like, a birthday. Like, just some random day out of the year, just showing, like, that you actually care about me. I guess that's, like, the greatest act of love I could actually think of.
Well, now, I want to go back to you. You were hitting it a little bit, but you weren't all the way there with the thought. What about this? What about someone offering their life for you in your place? Like, say you were going to get hit by a car. You know, you're crossing the street and there's, you know, a bus bearing down on you and you're about to get hit. Obviously, you're going to die from this hit. Someone rushes in and pushes you out of the way and they get hit and die. Would you say that would be the greatest act of love?
I mean, it could be considered that when you think about it, really, because they're trying to save your life, and instead they're giving their life so you can live.
What about you, Janaysia, right? Mm-hmm. What about you?
Yeah, that's a great act of love, because, like, that's something that most people probably wouldn't do. It's like, if you care that much about a person to where you're willing to give up your life for theirs, that's a great act of love.
Well, now, I got that thought, that analogy, from the Bible. Do you girls have any type of religious background?
I mean, I'm religious, but I don't go to church regularly, so.
Okay. What type of religious?
I'm Christian, so.
Okay. What about you, Jenny?
I'm Christian.
Okay. So now, the verse that I was using was John 15:13, where it talks about, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And you girls say you're Christian, so who was the person that laid down his life for his friends?
Jesus.
Right. You agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So, girls, let me ask you. Is that the greatest act of love, what Jesus did on the cross?
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
Put me to the test.
Because, no person actually would do that. Like, no human being, unless they actually care. And Jesus is a person who cares for us all. So he was like, these are my people. He's like, I'm going to put my life on the line for them so that they may be saved.
I mean, I agree with everything she just said, so.
All right, girls, let me ask you, do you consider yourselves to be good people?
I think so.
I mean, I hope I am. I think that I am, so.
We're going to go through a quick test, okay? We're going to go back and use the Bible a little bit more. 10 Commandments. You've heard of them? Okay. First one, well, not the first, but it's one of, first question. How many lies have you told in your whole life? Rough estimate.
A lot more than I could probably count. I don't
know. Yeah, probably more than I can count.
What do you call someone who tells that many lies?
A liar?
A liar, yeah.
Have you ever stolen anything, irrespective of its value? It could be as small as a pencil that you grabbed from someone's desk and you never gave it back.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
What do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
Very good. You agree?
Yes.
Last one. Bible says, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But we hear it all the time in movies and music and everything. Have you girls ever used the name Jesus or God or Christ in a derogatory way, like a curse word even?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, girls, what I've just done, I've gone through a couple of the Ten Commandments to see whether or not you're really good people. And based on that, you've admitted to me that you're lying, thieving, blasphemers. So you're not good people. You're like the rest of us. The Bible says that there are none good, no, not one. So when you girls were saying that you thought you were good people, or you hoped you were good people, you weren't. You're like the rest of us. You're horrible, wretched, filthy people in God's eyes. You may be very nice people, but in God's eyes you are not good. You're wicked. In fact, the Bible says your heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Now, knowing that, the punishment for breaking God's law, lying, stealing, is an eternity in hell. Bible says, Revelation 21:8, all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and sulfur. It says, no thief will inherit the kingdom of God. That's horrible news. But, remember what we were talking about a minute ago with Jesus dying on the cross? He did that in spite of your sinfulness. He did that in spite of the fact that you have broken his law. In spite of the fact that you deserve to go to hell, just like I do. He died on the cross and rose on the third day to pay your fine with his blood. Now let me ask you again, is that the greatest act of love?
Yes.
Yes.
Girls, I want to thank you so much for talking to me. Do you have any questions before we end the interview?
No.
Girls, I want to encourage you to read your Bible every day, okay? Make sure that you're right with God. The Bible actually tells people to examine themselves, to make sure that they're in the faith. Because Jesus warned that there will be many in the last days that say he is their Lord. But he will say, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness, I never knew you. Okay? So make sure that you are right with God. And if you aren't, the Bible says that you need to repent, turn away from your sin, and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone to be saved. Girls agree with that? You understand that?
Yes.
Yes.
Imagine Jesus walking onto your local college campus. What would he say? Would he be like Matthew chapter 9, seeing the people harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and say, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few? At Christian Collegiate Network, we are sending workers into the harvest. We are training students how to proclaim the glorious gospel, not only in the way that they live their lives, how to speak to the campus community about the gospel. If you want to support our ministry at Christian Collegiate Network by becoming a campus leader or financially, go to changeyourcampus.com. Christian Collegiate Network, changeyourcampus.com.
Attention, University of Cincinnati students. I'm going to have a table at the Communication Spring Internship Fair on March 2nd. How would you like to help out with the production of this show and get college credit? Then come find me in the Tangeman University Center, room 400, next Monday afternoon.
You're listening to Women's Radio.
We're on the campus today. We're asking people about, you know, Valentine's Day. Do you have any plans coming up for Valentine's Day?
We're just going to be hanging out at home and probably just going out to eat because we're all single for Valentine's Day.
So you're just going to hang out at home? That sounds kind of nice. You know, just a nice, easy evening, going out to dinner with friends. You don't have to worry about getting all hyped up into the Valentine's Day message or anything, right?
Nope.
So let me ask you this. You know, you got all the gifts and chocolates and presents and flowers and all that with Valentine's Day. You know, that's all these big, extravagant gifts. What would you say is the greatest gift or the greatest act of love that someone could do?
I think that the greatest thing a person can do to show that they really love someone is just to honestly be there for them. I mean, you could always give them physical gifts, but just like actually being there and caring about them and their problems in their life, I think that's the best thing you could give a person to show that you love them.
Okay. So now, I know that there are probably a lot of people that do that. I try to do that for my wife. I fail miserably, but I try to do it. Anyway, so since there's multiple people that do that, would you say that that's the greatest act, or do you think there's something greater that could be done that maybe no one's ever done, or maybe only one person has done?
I think that a lot of people, when it comes to, I guess, making sacrifices for another person, like, you know, sacrificing parts of your life, maybe you have to move for the person because of their job or whatever, I think making big sacrifices like that, I think that might be even bigger than just being there, because a lot of people will be there up until it costs them something, and I think that's bigger than that.
Okay. So now, what about, let me give you an analogy, a little story here. Okay, say you're crossing the street, and this huge bus comes barreling down on you. There's no way you're going to get out of the way in time, and if it hits you, you will surely die. But before that bus hits you, someone pushes you out of the way, and it hits them and kills them instead. Do you think that would be a great act of love?
I would hope that it would never come down to that, but like I was saying with the sacrifices, that's a really big sacrifice. And so if you're going to sacrifice your life for other people, then I think that's a huge act of love on your part.
Well, now, the whole reason I'm getting this theme of greatest act of love is I'm a Christian, and the Bible talks about this greatest act of love. So I was kind of getting people's thoughts on whether or not they thought it was the greatest act of love too. It's actually in John, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." So do you think that there is anything greater than that? Greater than laying your life down for your friends?
I think that that's definitely like at the top, but also I don't know if I can say this, but living your life, because I'm a Muslim, so living my life for God and just to be an all-around good person and to make sacrifices like that and help others, I think that's the biggest thing for me, is like the most important thing.
And now, I figured you were Muslim because you have it's a hijab, right?
Hijab,
okay. I've been saying it wrong all these years. I'm sorry about that. So you say that you've been trying to live for God, trying to be a good person. I'm going to put you to the test, okay? Have you heard of the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to put you to the test. Three questions. Have you ever told a lie before?
Yes.
What do you call someone who lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen anything, even something small?
I've never stolen anything.
You just admitted to being a liar. Are you sure?
I'm very positive.
Okay, I'll let you slide. Last one says to always 100% honor your father and mother. Have you always done that 100%?
I believe that I have always done that.
Okay, but have you really?
I think I have.
So you went through your teenage years without rebelling at all, ever.
It's not that I haven't done that. It's more like that no matter how angry I am at my parents or whatever, I know that I love them, and I won't care. Like, I will try and make myself a respectful person because they raised me, and so if I'm not a good person, people are going to look towards my parents. So I always try and, like, be as positive and as good a person as I can because I know it all goes back to my family in the end, too, and also because I believe that's what God wants me to do.
Okay. So, have you ever lied to your parents?
I think when I was little, I did.
So you've broken that one too, then, haven't you?
I believe I have.
So, what was your name one more time?
My name is Taz.
That's right, Taz. Okay. So, Taz, you've broken at least two of the commands, lying and dishonoring your parents, because you've lied to them. That's dishonoring them. So if God were to judge you based on that standard, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I think I would be innocent because the things that I'm saying that I've lied about are like childish things when I was a child. I believe that when you're a child, God will forgive those mistakes, and when you're older, you're supposed to learn from those mistakes. So, you know, like if I broke something and I lied about it and my mom caught me later when I was really little, I don't think in God's eyes that'll be like something to prove me guilty over.
So now, what's the cutoff age where the lies start counting against you?
It's not so much a cutoff age. It's more like becoming mature. So I mean, I feel like puberty usually happens middle school, and I feel like by then people are more mature at that age and should learn to understand, like, when you're a little kid and you make mistakes, you're supposed to learn from them. And so when you get to the age where you actually understand that what you're doing is wrong and you're aware of what you're doing, that's when you need to stop what you're doing.
So you never lied or dishonored your parents from the point of, we'll say, puberty on?
Nope, because I know they'll find out about it later, and then I'll just be in worse trouble, and I'll feel guilty about it. So I always tell them the truth, and I don't give them I don't give reasons to lie.
Well, that's very honorable of you. I'm going to call you a liar. I don't think you're telling the honest truth. But in spite of all that, we know that you've broken God's laws, and God requires absolute perfection. So we're all guilty of breaking his laws. We've all lied or stolen or done bad things. You know, we've all done things that have broken God's laws or gone against God's will, right?
Yes.
So now, because of that, the Bible, the Christian religion, says that we all deserve to go to hell because we've broken God's law, because he must punish those who have sinned, who have broken his law. It says that you have to be perfect in order to get to heaven. And there's no way that any of us are perfect. We have to be good. And it says there are none good, none righteous. So, would that concern you? Does that concern you knowing that's what the standard is? That it's absolute perfection to get to heaven?
I guess in some ways it is concerning, but I mean, for when taking it back to my belief, I believe nobody's perfect. That's very true, and we've all made mistakes, but the key really is to, you have to ask God for his forgiveness, because God knows nobody's perfect, and none of us will ever be perfect, no matter how hard we try. We've all got flaws in us. We're only human. But we've got to ask God for his forgiveness. And, I mean, for me, the key to heaven is just trying to be the best person you can, so that God can forgive those mistakes, because he can see that you're trying.
And I know you're getting cold. We'll wrap this up here. But one thing you have to remember is you may ask God for forgiveness, but there's still the matter of the sin that you have committed in your account, basically. You know, you still have that sin that you have earned. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You deserve to die. You deserve to go to hell because you've sinned. But God did something for everybody in the Christian religion. God did something for everybody so that we could escape hell and go to heaven. Now, asking for forgiveness is part of it. But what he did was he sent his son Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin, fully God and fully man, lived a perfect life, never sinned, never lied, never dishonored his parents. And then he died on the cross, and he rose again on the third day. Now, when he did that, he wasn't dying because he deserved it. He was dying because you deserve it, and I deserve it. We all deserve to die and go to hell, but he died in our place, paying for our sins. And he says that if you turn away from your sin and turn to God by putting your trust in Jesus Christ and him alone and what he did on the cross, you can be saved. But there's a big catch. He says if you don't go through him and him alone, you will end up in hell. He offers it as a free gift, you know, like the Bible said, greatest gift ever, laying his life down for his friends, laying his life down for you, so that you could have eternal life. But he says you have to go through him and him alone. Does that make sense to you?
I've heard that before.
Any questions?
No questions. I've heard that before. I just don't believe it. I do believe in Jesus. I believe in him as a prophet, though. And I believe that because God is all-powerful and also all-forgiving, that Jesus didn't need to die on the cross for us. God has the power to forgive our sins so long as we seek his help.
Okay. Well, now, I don't believe that is in the, oh, now I'm drawing a blank, the Quran, that God is all-forgiving.
Actually, it is.
Do you know what the surah is so that I can look it up? Obviously not right now, but later.
You can actually, at the beginning of every surah we recite, you can actually, like, look up Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that, like, begins every surah. Before we begin reading that surah, we have to say that, and that basically is saying God is the Almighty, God is the All-Forgiving. And if you just look around in the Quran, it's mentioned a number of times that God is the All-Forgiving, and you won't find anyone more forgiving than God.
Well, I agree, you won't find anyone more forgiving than God, because he's willing to forgive everybody, but there is a catch to that. You have to go through his son Jesus. And Jesus, if you read the Bible, he was much more than just a prophet. And he said, he made a really profound statement, and I'll let you go. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. No one gets to God. No one gets to heaven except through him. What are your thoughts on that verse?
I think that my beliefs are different from yours. I don't think we'll change each other's beliefs at this moment, but I will say that I'm not a Christian, so I don't follow the Bible, I follow the Quran. And so for me, just my belief is that the way that I'm going to get through heaven is get to heaven is by asking God for his forgiveness and praying to God every day, just living my life for God, and just to be a good person. And as long as I do that, then I'm not worried about that.
So how do you know when you've done enough to get to heaven?
I don't think you ever do know. It's not so much doing enough. It's just living your day-to-day life, being a good person. You shouldn't do bad things. You shouldn't be... I think we can all agree on, like, what makes a bad person. Like, you know, you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't lie, but you should, and we do make mistakes at times, but, like I said, I think asking God for his forgiveness and trying to do as much good as you can so that when people look at you, when people hear your name, they think of a good person. I think that's what it's about.
Who doesn't love a little Ohio Fire? Now that's the Ohio Players Fire. I'm talking about OhioFire.org. Striving for Eternity's Ministries puts on great conferences around the country. April 9th through the 11th, Columbus, Ohio. Not only will the gang from Striving for Eternity be there, but the gang from CARM, you know, Matt Slick and the gang from Christian Apologetic Resources Ministries. Sign up for Ohio Fire at OhioFire.org.
Ratings. We don't need no stupid ratings. You're listening to Witness Radio with Ryan Muriak. But we like Ryan. We do. Just go to witnesstalkradio.org.
So, we know that Jesus gave us the greatest act of love. But what's the greatest way for you to show someone that you love them? I propose that it's by sharing the gospel, offering people the only way to escape the fires of hell. Until next time, the fields are ripe for the harvest. So what are you waiting for? Get out there and share your faith.
May God bless you.
Witness Radio has been brought